Today we celebrate Singles Day. Singles Day tends to mean so many things to so many people. And I wonder what it means to you. But today, I know that God has a special word for us who are here celebrating Singles Day. Notice I didn't say God has a special word for the singles. He had a special word for everybody, tailor-made to fit everybody's need, including and especially that or those of the singles. And so I invite you to bow your heads with me as we seek the guidance of God's Holy Spirit. Loving Heavenly Father, today we wait on you. When we celebrate the Sabbath day, we are celebrating the fact that you are our Creator, our God, and our Lord. We have not just come to fellowship, we have come to worship, because you are worthy of our worship and our praise. And you have said that when we gather together, even if it is just two or three of us, you will be in our midst and you will bless us and do us good. We need that blessing today. And so honor your word, we pray, because you're a God who cannot lie. And as we wait on you, satisfy the need, the felt needs, and even the needs that have not been recognized, of every waiting heart, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm happy today to see so many friends. Being here is always a special event because Andrews is a special place. Happy to see my president, Pastor Nathan. We've had some good times together at the Union, and I know that wonderful things are going to be happening in East Conference under his leadership. Also see one of my very special friends. Where did she go? All right, she vanished on me, but that is all right. I think she shared with you for the first service, Nadine Campbell. I'd like you to turn your Bibles with me, if you please, to St. Luke chapter 12, where Jesus spoke a parable to his people. St. Luke chapter 12. And if you have found St. Luke 12, I'll read in your hearing from verse 15 and onwards. And he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man. You know the parable, right? The ground brought forth plentifully. And he thought in himself, now what am I going to do? I don't have enough room to store all of this stuff. So I will pull down my barns and build greater barns. And they'll stack things up and pack the place up, and I'll get rich and fat and prosperous. And I will say to myself, hey guy, you have been doing well, you have a lot stored up here for years, settle back, eat and drink and be merry and have a great time. Verse 20 said, but God said to him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. And you wonder, what in the world are we getting at? Isn't that a stewardship passage, Pastor? We're talking about singles here. Did you perhaps miss the event? But this parable is not just a parable about money, about riches, about the gathering of wealth, about covetousness and greed. It is also a parable in which Jesus speaks of misplaced priorities, about false visions of success, about a false concept of the value of material things, about a false self-concept. And the man who was guilty of all of this had the harsh pronouncement against him by God himself: "Thou fool." Now, the Bible says that we mustn't call one another fool. And when we call each other fool, many times it's just simply a way of hurting somebody's feelings. And very often the one who is pronounced a fool is actually a pretty smart person. But when God says, "Thou fool," he's not just cussing anybody. It's an assessment of who you are. And God does not want us to be foolish. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 25, thereabouts, he says that the foolish things of the world is the things that the world considers to be foolish are the wise things of God. And the things that the world considers to be wise, God sees those as mere trivia, foolishness. We need to get our perspectives right. And so in Matthew 6:33, we're told, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all things, all the good things, will be added." Whatever distracts us from putting God first is an idol. Amen? Money, career, popularity, entertainment, even church. Because sometimes we get so caught up in church that we miss God completely. I'd like to speak to you for a little bit on one of these distractors. And so, if you turn your Bible now to St. Matthew 24, you'll know what I'm talking about. Jesus, in speaking of the signs of the end time, the things that will tell us that his coming is near, he said in verse 38 of Matthew 24, "For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and Hold on. We got that one wrong, I'm sure. Let's go again. "As for as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." I'm talking about marrying and giving in marriage. Now hold on. Just before I am accused of offending my married brothers and sisters, let me set the record straight. Marriage was created by God. Marriage is a part of the ideal package that God gave at creation. Marriage was given to man to be a blessing to man. The means and the medium through which procreation and the growth and development of the race should take place. Marriage is honorable. Marriage is good. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. But marriage has been corrupted over the years. It has become romanticized by some, until it has lost all vestige of reality, And so it is seen by many to be this glittering, beautiful thing that is held up there that everybody should be aspiring and craving for. By others, it is ridiculed as being bondage, as one very popular gleaner writer always speaks about it as that old ball and chain affair. And sometimes I myself wonder, what is going through people's minds? You find a brother and a sister who get together and they live together for whatever years, and they do all the things that married people do, and so on and so forth. And then one day he pops the question, and it becomes a big affair. And they have this big glittering thing with cakes piled high and friends coming from all around, and they make all kinds of jokes about what will happen on wedding night and all that sort of thing. And you wonder if somebody didn't tell them that they were living like married people all along. This whole fairy tale affair and this kind of approach to marriage has been messing things up for the longest while. Even among Christian parents, we find them calling their little boys and their little girls together and reading them stories once upon a time. You know how it is. The prince, the princess, the this, the that, whatever. But it seemed to always wind up at the end that they got married and lived happily ever after. Many times, the marriage does not go that way. If living happily ever after means until the end of the honeymoon, until the end of the reception, perhaps? Yes. Now, I'm not being cynical here. There are some beautiful marriages. I know some of them. Right? And I will vouch for them. But I'm saying that we have got to the point where we have held up marriage to the extent where those who are supposed to be normal are supposed to be clamoring, craving, scratching, biting, fighting, fussing to get into marriage. And we come into church and our well-intentioned brothers and sisters ask, so what? You know? And our loving grandparents in church who love to hug us after church is finished and give us a little kiss on the cheek and so on will often ask, so when they go eat piece of cake? And so, like any other value that has been placed out there and embellished for everybody to go after, especially when sometimes it is not considered to be readily available for everybody, it is often now seen as a scarce spoil and benefit to fight over. When marriage becomes that, marriage has become a distractor. And we need to be careful, because if we allow ourselves to be distracted and turned away from what is most important in life, we run the danger of God the Father looking at his children and saying, thou fool. God is love. The Bible tells us And when God created man, God created man so that he could have somebody else to love. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost live in such close, loving relationship that the Bible says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one." This is what perfection in love is all about. And when God created Adam and Eve, he created them in his image. And if God is love, and we are created in his image, we are supposed to be as he is. Not just be loving, but within our own nature, we should be love. That is what we need to aspire towards. That is where perfection is. And that is what God means when he says, "Be ye therefore perfect, as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect." But how do we achieve this perfection in Christ? Perfection in Christ is found as we develop and we ourselves become more loving persons. And God expects that each of us will achieve this kind of fulfillment in our personal relationship with him. Marriage was given to assist in this regard. And brother and sister Jump will tell you that sometimes things don't go so smooth. And the truth? And there's a little bit of rubbing that goes this side, a little bit of rubbing that goes that side. As they like to say, teeth and tongue will meet from time to time. But they help each other. And as they learn to forgive within the bonds of marriage, as they learn to tolerate within the bonds of marriage, as they learn to understand that everybody will not fold up their clothes and put them away at the way that they want, as they learn to understand that everybody will not like the same amount of sugar in the porridge, as they learn to understand that everybody will not be as loving in their lyrics, or as receptive of loving in their lyrics, as they learn to understand that everybody will not want the same amount of children or even want children full stop, as they learn to understand that everybody will not get along with everybody else's in-laws, as they learn to understand that not everybody can cook like your mother did, as they learn to understand that not everybody is as macho as your father was, they learn that loving takes an effort. It does not just happen. And when we run around the place talking, "Ooh, I've fallen in love," you know, it means it's time to get up. Because when you fall down, you know, we fall down, but we, that's right. Falling in love is not getting anywhere, right? All you need to be able to do that is to allow yourself to fall captive to the force of gravity. Love is something that happens intentionally from the mind. It is something we do, something we commit ourselves to. And therefore, as we love God, and he develops our mind and strengthens our thinking, we become capable of loving those around us. But the first love is to God. This is what perfection is all about. And therefore, for those of you who have been given the impression that you are here to sit around and wait until Prince Charming or Princess Charming or Mr. Right or Miss Right comes along, It's time you wake up. Because if that is the bus you're waiting on, it will only take you to the wrong destination. What fulfills you and me is when God is allowed to work inside of us to fulfill our finest potentials spiritually, physically, intellectually, socially, to make us into whole and happy persons, knowing that we are made in God's image, that the world is ours to claim under the power and the influence of God, and we can go out and enjoy what He has placed here, that His Spirit is within us to fight the good fight of faith. We can lay hold on eternal life, and when the fires of hell are burning, we are out of here. That's where our priorities lie. And so you say, so Pastor, what you're saying is that marriage is not all that important? No! Don't you tell anybody that I said so. Right? Marriage is great. Look at Pastor. He's a man who is being looked after well. Eh? That is good. That is good. But that is not the end to which we go. It is a means to an end. We are whole and complete, standing all by ourselves if Jesus is standing beside us. Therefore, where do we go? First of all, we need to understand that we need to seek that perfect relationship with God. I heard the prayer this morning, Pastor. And I heard Pastor praying for those who are single and tempted and tossed, you know. I just want to burst one little bubble, destroy a particular myth, and do not think I'm suggesting that Pastor was going down that road. But there are some people who seem to believe that single people are people who are more tempted and more prone to fall into temptation than married people are. That is not the case. There are some temptations that face single people that do not face married people to the same extent. Because married people have a spiritually legal outlet for certain drives. But I have found that an increasing number of married people are still looking for other outlets. Temptation is a universal thing. I say that because I don't want you to believe that if you are tempted and tossed, and if the drives are there getting at you, that the way to get out of this is that I have to find a married, I have to get married, I have to get married, I have to get. Because many times you will find, especially if you have been finding outlets before marriage, that you get into marriage and your particular outlet does not let you out. And so, the temptation is there in front of you. And very often, there's somebody around who is saying, "What happened? You're not getting any let out? Let me show you to the door." It is not marriage that will keep you in the moment of temptation. It is your commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the spirit of Joseph which says, how can I do this wickedness and sin against God? It is a spirit who lives within me that will allow me to say, greater is he that is in me than he that is pulling me. Therefore, we need to develop that relationship with Christ. So I'd like to say two quick things about development, and I'll sit down. First of all, as we celebrate our singleness, God does not expect you to be single. We are best single if we're double single. Yes, and I see faces being puckered and people are wondering, what am I talking about? People backing out the scientific calculator and that kind of stuff. But listen now. We will never be able to stand on our own. Jesus said in St. John chapter 15, without me ye can do nothing. It is our privilege as single people to have a special relationship with God. And this is what we need to build. So let's talk a little bit about that. Number one, since you like to talk romance, let's talk romance. Right? Let's talk about romancing the Lord. In a romance, you spend time with a person. Amen? Do you spend time with God? In a romance, you listen to the person. Do you spend time listening to God? The love letters, whether they come by the traditional snail mail, or they come through email, or they come by WhatsApp, or what's down, but do you spend time listening to God? He speaks. I have been discovering more and more every day how powerful this thing is. Trust me, man. This is not just hype. This is not just advertising. Listen, try it for yourself. Right? Get into it. Spend some time. After you read the first couple of verses and they turn you off. Read the next three or four. And you start turning on. This thing is powerful. Listen to him. I mean, this is lyrics out of sight. Right? When you are building a relationship, you like to talk to the person, don't you? There are those persons who spend hours making Digicel happy. There are persons who spend lots of time on Facebook. Sometimes it's really a faceless book. Responding to friend requests. Come on. What kind of friend you're talking about? Friends are better appreciated when you can touch them. And you can see their smile. And I know technology is increasingly allowing that sort of thing. But Facebook is misplacing the affections and the attentions of a lot of people. Get real. So, you listen to the friend. You talk to the friend. You spend time with the friend. You talk about the friend. If you have your smuddy and you don't want to mention your smuddy when you are with your friends, something kind of wrong with that, eh? Yeah. If when somebody mention your special person, you're blushing and hiding your face and changing the conversation as soon as possible. Something is funny because those who are in love love to talk about those whom they love. Are you building that relationship with God? People who are in love give to one another. No, God is constantly giving. Every day he showers it down. You know, food, and clothing, shelter, breath in your nostrils, good looks on your face, clothes on your back. You know, people showing you respect and listening to your jokes. Do you realize that all of that is a gift from God? Yeah. The opportunity for an education or a good job or something. I mean, the blessings are coming every day. And the biggest one of all, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. He says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn you unto me. He says, death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature. Hey, nobody can wrap that. Yeah. God, it's there. The love is there, right? What are you giving to God? Some of us love God so much that we wouldn't even want to give him our money because it's too dirty. Okay, you know I'm just being sarcastic, don't you? What do we give to God? We need to build that relationship. And when we have that friendship going, we're safe. Because anywhere we go, anything we do, our friend is there, our friend is on our side, and he's going to turn things out right. All things will work together for good to them who love the Lord, who are in a love relationship with him. My final word is to the church. Because you see, our job, as I said, is to develop a perfect relationship with God. And one of the reasons God gave marriage was so that within marriage, people could learn to love each other more. I said that earlier. So God made the family initially. That is still God's plan. And this is why he gave every single Seventh-day Adventist single a family. It's called the church. But this family is not doing what a family is supposed to do. Because within the home setting, the family setting, this is where we should find friendship. When you are out there, when you go to school and you go to work and you have had a rough day and you feel that you can't take any more, right? You jump in your car, or you jump on a bus, and you head on home. When you step through the front door and get into your house, you are supposed to feel better, shouldn't you? Yes, because this, where you are, is where you find those who love you, those who support you, those who accept you, no matter what your weaknesses and flaws are, right? These are your people, right? This is your blood. But I'm telling you that in here we are connected by a blood which is even stronger than family blood. And this is where every person should find this the kind of support they need. Now I know it doesn't always happen, and that's why I'm speaking to the church. Right? I'm going to let out a little bit out of it, Pastor, because as a pastor who does not have the blessings that many of my colleagues have. I have found myself, I remember finding myself at a ministerial retreat. Yes. When we got to we get to go to a nice resort and you get to take your family with you and all that sort of thing. Yes. And then time came for prayer. And they said, well, okay, everybody, pray with your family. Was a little bit challenging for me because, as you might guess, honey was not there. Finally, somebody picked up on it and said, So I went over and I joined them. Praise the Lord. Yes, yes. But then, when all of that was finished, and they said, well, we have nothing special, no special program for the afternoon. It's an opportunity for you to spend time with your... Ooh-hoo. And so in a moment, you know, you look this way, you look, you see everybody, you know, you look this way, look back, and you see nobody. Everybody has disappeared. And the cheese stands alone. That's an extreme case because of that setting. But how often has this happened in church? Where persons who do not have a family find themselves at special moments just out on a limb. But it is our duty as a church to be the family of every single person, so that every single person is not a single, but a double single. And so, as a church, we need to take time out to accommodate our brothers and sisters. Open our arms, embrace one another. Stop pressuring people about getting married. Right? Because people will get married if God plans for them to get married. And if they follow God's plan. Because sometimes God have a plan for you. And you go and watch your business doing your own thing. Right? But God says he will take care of all of our needs according to his riches in glory. So you think that is just money? No, that's social needs as well. Right? So give people a chance to breathe free, man. I mean, two young people get together and start talking, you know, pretty soon. So what? The richness of life is robbed because people do not feel free to associate and fellowship as they should, because the moment you start getting close to somebody, somebody believes that is something in a something. And something might be in a something, so what? Because something need to be in a something sometimes. Yeah. But I'm saying, brothers and sisters, that we need to be able to comfortably relate to each other. I must be able to love you. You must be able to love me. And there, nobody has to believe that there are strings attached. Hmm? And so young people should be able to go out, get down to Pizza Hut, go eat some pizza together, right? Hang out in a corner, chat a bit, you know, enjoy life together. Because God made you interesting. And I hope you find that God made me interesting too. We can sit down and talk together, share together, get up, go our separate ways. Both of us feel a warm glow inside because we have enjoyed the richness of God's gift of friendship. I can learn to give because I give to you. I can learn to receive graciously because you give to me. I can learn to share a joke. I can learn that, hey, when I say something funny, somebody finds it funny. My self-esteem can be built because somebody came to church and said, hey, I like your tie. I can, my self-esteem can be built because somebody opened the door first. You get what I'm saying? That all of us can feel free to love one another, to be nice to each other, to be kind to one another, to create in the church the kind of atmosphere that God intended that it should form, the kind of culture in which we can grow up, where the positive things of in my character and the positive things in your character can develop strongest, that we can become like Christ. We can grow up in him. And that's why I'd like to finish off with that particular passage as we go back to Ephesians, where our scripture reading came from. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14 and onwards. It says that henceforth, We're not like little children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine or every little thing that everybody have to say. Solid, standing on our own 2 feet. Verse 15, but speaking the truth, speaking the... What's chapter 4? sorry. Yes. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Because Christ is the head, and all of us as a whole body, fitly joined together, compacted together, we are one family, one body. We have the same DNA as Jesus. Amen? This is what the church is all about. And then chapter 3 says that in verse 15 that we are one family in heaven and in earth, and that Christ dwelling in our hearts will root us and ground us in love, that we will know the love of God which passeth knowledge. Jesus says in John chapter 13 verses 34 and 35 that when this happens, this is how people will know that we are his disciples, because we have love one for another. And so, my brothers and sisters, this is what true empowerment is all about. Having the power of the Holy Spirit living inside of us, making us like Jesus, not just to have love, not just to share love, but to be love, to be part of the family of love. That's the surname of the heavenly family, love. So that I can walk down the street and people know me as Michael Love. And whatever your name is, that your surname is love, because you belong to that family. Carrying the name, playing the game, and that together, one of these days, we might be reconciled with the rest of the family in heaven and be comfortable there, having left all the hang-ups behind us, being free to love and be loved forever and forever. My brothers and sisters, there is no single. Let's be doubled single. And let's let the love of God be shared among all of us, because you are complete as you are. If by God's grace, he wants to put one complete you with a complete somebody else, all right, that's completely his plan, completely his business. And I hope you'll be completely happy. But until then, you are complete as you are. Let's praise God because we are complete in him. God bless you.